I'm Julia, and we are doing an Odyssey check-in with Hanson. How are you guys?
Hello.
Hey, doing good.
Hey, doing good, yeah.
Good. Well, your album Red, Green, Blue will officially be here when this conversation airs. Does the pre-release feelings ever change for you, or is it like jittery? Or are you nervous?
Well, I think it's exciting. I mean, it's nice to just have the feeling of putting something out into the world. I mean, I feel like as things have gone more and more digital, the feeling of an event, a moment, like something that you actually sort of wait for and then it actually arrives. I think it's harder to come by those moments because yeah. Everything's so accessible. I mean, Tom Cruise is having to fight to just like put his movie out in theaters
at all,
as opposed to just launching on streaming. And he's Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
So I think just the feeling there's a moment that is now, hey, this project comes out is great. It feels good too, because we know we're about to actually be able to kick into a large tour, which the whole world has been in this different weird place where they haven't been gathering as much for the last 2 years. So there's a sense of it being tangible now. So it feels good.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I mean, how are you feeling putting it out with this new concept that you guys are doing compared to what you've done in the past?
It's definitely, you know, it's a different thing. And that's part of the idea. I think we're at a point in our career where those different kind of ideas are more and more appealing. I mean, the last album we did was Against the World last year, which came out in pieces, you know, one single at a time.
It was actually supposed to come out with a world tour. That was actually part of the idea of the world tour.
That's a whole nother thing. The album before that was a string project with a symphony. We did things called String Theory. And so I think we're at a point where you're really trying to deepen those connections and continue to tell interesting stories that really not just affect the moment you're in, but shed light on the history of the band, the whole story of 3 decades of music that we've played together.
Yeah.
And so it's
kind of
wild.
Like bucket list kind of stuff.
Talking about the project specifically, it's 15 songs. Each brother took 5 songs and wrote and produced it. We had a shared production team. So we decided all to work with Jim Scott as an engineer producer, who's an amazing, legendary producer and engineer.
Tom Petty, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jackson Brown, to name a few.
Yeah,
Dixie
yeah.
Chicks. And then our friend David Garza, who's done stuff with Midland and Fiona Apple. So that was the production team.
Yeah.
And each of us basically treated it like a solo EP in a sense, and said, look, I'm in charge. Get out of the way, fellas. I threw elbows.
I think it would be a mistake to think that the project was really about creative freedom. I think it's kind of the opposite. It's really saying, like, let's not stagnate. Let's continue to do things that challenge us, because we're so used to working together. We're so comfortable working together. Yeah. What happens when you take away some of that comfort and you put the strengths in different areas?
Yeah, definitely. Did you guys have the idea at first, like, okay, each of us do 5 songs, or were you just coming up with them and then you were like, hey, sorry, you have 7 you like, you got to dial it down to 5 to match the rest of us?
It did evolve a little bit,
but we knew it. I mean, whatever it was, you know, agreeing on a number was key, at least a range, so that it was an equal break. Like, hey, it's going to all add up to some sort of 3 equal pieces.
We did at one point discuss it being 3 separate EPs released at a separate time. That was our original concept. We actually had titles, the Red, Green, Blue album, like title. We also had separate titles for it, Greener Pastures, Red Bud, and Blue Yonder was the original kind of title idea. But
I think the biggest thing about it was really realizing that the best way to talk about this story was to do it where they were most intricately compared and connected, right?
You actually put them next to each other.
Where they were seen in the contrast of each other, where you didn't want people to sort of only find the Green EP and not know that there were 2 others.
Yeah.
And so that was the reason we kind of put it all together.
It was mostly because they were afraid that I would do better music than them. And they didn't want to be compared to me.
Well, that will be interesting. I'm sure someone will eventually tell us which band member is the best.
But please don't tell us
the album that'll do that, you know.
You know, and thankfully I just probably don't care.
No, I just was gonna say it's an interesting exercise. I mean, in just challenging yourself and then also kind of trusting your fans as well, the ones because look, when you've been making music for your whole lives, I mean, we've been, you know, it's easy to remember now. I mean, we were 9, 6, and 11. We're now 36, 39, and 41. You know, I mean, that's 30 years in. It's like, okay, you know, that's three decades.
And that was 5 years before like middle of nowhere. And I'm out the west.
Yeah, when we first began, and you go, that means like a 9-year-old, 6-year-old, 11-year-old. We've been doing this our whole life. So you know, music creation is, it comes from inspiration. It has something that's got a spark. You know, you got to have some kind of spark. And you know, Isaac had this idea for a while suggesting this project. And frankly, you know, to have the right time to do a project like this is, it's not always the right time. And this is one of those things that you kind of have to be able to frame what it is in context with who you have been, you know, because the fact that we are sort of as established in a way of, at least regardless whether you know all the band's records, you know the story of Hanson, you know it's three brothers, yeah. You know that we've written and recorded for a long time, you know there's a strong sense of unity and sense of identity. And so when you know that, it's actually kind of interesting to then break it apart. Whereas when you, this many years in, I think it's a much more interesting idea than if it had been album four. You know, this is now like, okay, wow, that's what is that? What is that going to be? You know?
So, did you guys have any other album title names that like you decided against that kind of connected the three, like with the color concept?
Beige, gray, black.
Yeah.
CMYK. You know,
honestly,
WDF was a working one.
The only thing that we did play around with was the order of the colors. There was a point when it was RBG, and we were like, oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we probably shouldn't.
The dedicated Ruth Bader Ginsburg album. People were like, you guys immediately got very judicial. yeah, we were like, we don't want to wait there. No, we're not.
And that was like, well, should it be BRG, like the bridge?
Oh.
But you know, but the cool thing actually about the acronym RGB is that it's actually a color format. So,
you know, LED lights and TVs, and if you design programs, you know, you can make all the colors with red, green, and blue.
There's a metaphor there. So it's kind of like they're their own, and then together they also create things collectively.
And it's also just like a satisfyingly little nerdy thing that we all love.
Right, exactly. You know what? They have to be a lot of dorks.
It's a geek world, people. Yeah, you got to play the game. Yeah,
feed the nerds, otherwise they'll rebel.
Yes.
So, how did you guys decide on the colors? Is it literally just your favorite colors?
It kind of is. Yeah. Since we were kids, I mean, we've told the story several different ways, and they're all true. One sense, we were kind of labeled that way early from our mom, just like, and then at the same time, those colors really kind of are colors. Like, I mean, I am red. I've always resonated with red. Green has always been Isaac very strongly, and Zach has always been blue. It's just, so who knows, chicken or the egg, where it actually
every car I've ever owned is blue. Yeah. You know, it's a blue thing.
Sure.
So I think too, that there's something about, you know, obviously grew up in a big family. It's probably the colors became color coding. Like, that's my thing, you know, stop touching the red.
I had green stickers, you know, put it on stuff.
So those were those colors that have been known. And even, I would say, even in our fan community, the ones that have really, you know, followed the band, those colors have shown up in association with us, even at this point, you know, and actually quite a long time ago, really.
Yeah.
So
I liked the idea of like you all wanting blue and then like an American Ninja situation in your backyard to fight for who's going to be blue.
Yeah. I think that would have been a very good idea.
It would have been very violent. Yes.
I mean, that would have really been something.
I wish that would have happened
on red.
You know what?
Say that.
That's going to be our new story.
Yeah.
That's going to be our new story. You've just written the script for us and we're sticking to it.
We all wanted it to be blue and then American Ninja Warrior, the end. Mm-hmm. I won.
So the first songs for Zach was Don't Let Me Down, Taylor, Child at Heart, and Isaac, Write You a Song. Were you guys so sure that these were the first songs you wanted, or how did the process go through of choosing which ones for each?
I don't know about Taylor. I mean, I felt like the minute that Write You a Song was written, I immediately was like, this is it. This is not.
Which was the most, this is the song.
Yeah. I mean, like, I knew right away. I'm we're not going to have a better one than this to introduce people to this concept, at least from my end of things. There are a bunch of songs that I'm really proud of on this portion of the album, the EP portion. And there's some really cool stuff that Taylor and Zach have done. And I can honestly say what's fun about this process is, in a different way, you can kind of objectively say, oh, I'm a fan of this, and oh, I'm a fan of that, you know, about each other without feeling a little like narcissistically self-conscious.
You know?
you know, with mine, Don't Let Me Down, there were a lot of potential ways you could go. Knowing it was going to be the third single meant it would be the last thing people kind of heard before the album.
Yeah.
And so that was weighing on me. And I was thinking about the songs it could be. And what happened was right after Christmas, my buddy, Zach Myers, who we all know, he called me because he was trying to get on his Peloton. He's like, I bought my wife a Peloton. How do I get on this thing? Right?
Confused.
And it was hilarious.
I felt the same way when I got one too.
So did I. It is really confusing.
Yeah, yeah. But when he called, I was like, hey, actually, I've got this song and you would be amazing on it. And once he played on it, it just seemed like this is just, there's so much kind of friendship in there now and joy to the song. It's a great crescendo. Mm-hmm. And so it just
recruited Frankie.
Yeah, yeah. It told me on its own. It said, "Hey, I'm the song that we should end with before the album comes out," because I think it also ended up really accentuating some of the different sounds. Right? You hear three very different songs. I love how different they are. I love the style in all three songs. But it made it even more clear that people were going to go on a journey to different places. And so that's where it was.
What was the easier ask for Frankie? Was it to be in the music video or was it to put that outfit on?
Well, actually, he agreed to be in the music video before he even knew what the concept was.
I call Frankie has been a really good friend for a long time. One of those guys that we don't see each other very often, but it's always immediately back to just like best friends kind of vibe. And so I just called him and I said, "Hey, I'm making a music video. Do you think you would be into being in it?" And he goes, "Yeah, of course I'll be in it. As long as I'm not doing a race car, you know, a race that day."
He's actually a race car. Yeah. He's a race car driver. Yeah,
And I said, "Do you need to see the treatment?" He goes, "No, I'll be fine, whatever it is." You know, and he showed up the day before and I told him he's wearing short shorts and we were doing a workout video. And it was just like, oh my God, he's this like, is going to be amazing. Yeah, it was a great joy to do it with him too.
How did you decide what song to release with?
Well, I decided, interestingly, so I actually thought it would be, there's another song called We Belong Together. That was the song I really thought would be the first song. And really that these guys responded strong, you know, really strongly to Child at Heart. And knowing the sequence of how this thing was going to come out, I thought, well, obviously this is going to be the beginning. So I want to pick something that really connects. And I will say with that song, as far as the different songs, Child at Heart is an immediate, this is the song. This is the thing. And I love that. You know, writing, when you write pop songs, you know, songs that have hooks, songs that are kind of, hey, you know, tell us the message and make it hooky. There's not a lot of songs where you get to start with the chorus, where you get to say, 1, 2, 3, here you go. And so I love that about it. And I also love how clear the message is of that song. Mm-hmm. It's almost a ballad. I mean, it's just right on the edge.
Yeah.
And, we put out a lot of upbeat songs. We put out a lot of very, you know, songs I love to sing. They're a lot of fun. But that one is, you know, it really hitting you with something that's kind of heavy right from the beginning without being, you know, dark. It's carrying you some weight. So I was excited for that to be the introduction.
Yeah. I know for me, listening to the songs, having the privilege of kind of being an outside source, there were two things about Child at Heart. One was the message, like you're saying, such a strong sort of, I think, moment of right now. Like it almost, like I feel like
everybody
people are dealing
that.
With sort of like mental health issues and isolation. And like, it was like a message was like really real to what people
to
needed here.
Sure.
And then stylistically, I think for all of us, there's an element of that sort of Brit rock and Travis and like bands like that, that have been huge influences, but you don't hear it as much in our music when we come together, that garage rock band, that power pop band sort of tends to take over. And when Taylor brought that and you got to hear it kind of like, oh man, wouldn't it be so great to just let people hear us and you, you know, playing in that style? Cause I think it's really true to something they haven't seen.
Yeah.
Actually, Taylor, I did an interview with AOL Nation like a couple months ago, and Aaron was so complimentary of you. He compared you to Michael Jackson, which is like, I feel like the compliment.
I will take you later. That's very kind. Yeah. He's brilliant and really good dude.
Yeah. How was it working with him?
It's fantastic. I mean, it's kind of unfair to say working, considering it was all recorded and sent via email during the pandemic, right, all in our caves. But yeah. I mean, super creative. We know we AWOL and Aaron specifically for quite a few years and talked about doing things. And again, like this whole, the whole world been in such upheaval. I know that project was talking about mental health, kind of like, and something he's like, hey, I've always wanted to do this. Hey, what else am I doing? I'm going to pick some covers. And he picked really interesting, you know, in some cases, even bizarre choices, but I loved it. I mean, I loved doing something that was so out of the box. And once again, I mean, music is such a weird thing. I mean, I'd never really listened to the song I did with him, Material Girl. I didn't really listen to that song.
And, such a good song.
You know, and I thought, you know, we're just going to sing this song. And it's a really fun melody. And there's a lot more in there. So very creative. He's fantastic and very, very honored to be a part of that.
I think I think he did a great job on the version, both Taylor singing as well as AWOL, as far as like, you know, there's the production.
It's got some muscle to it.
It's a really cool production. I mean, it definitely is very reminiscent of the original version, but it's got the AWOL twist.
Well, it's turning it on its head just by having a man sing it.
Am I hearing this right?
What kind of Material Girl? Wait, is this some sort of play on the Chicken Hansen?
I'm confused.
Well, I remember, you know, when I interviewed him, they had sent me like the track list and like everybody who was on it before obviously it was released. And I saw Material Girl and you two, and I'm like, I like it. I'm into it.
Got to turn some
heads. Creativity. I mean, we'll swing it back to just the general conversation. I mean, first of all, again, Aaron's awesome. Huge, huge props to him. And those guys are great, great band. But just being creative. I mean, we were in an interview last week and I tried to, you know, we were talking about all the family stuff. And a lot of times that comes up and album. But go, you know, nobody tells you you're going to talk about yourself all the time when you join a band. Like you get into it to make music. You get into it to write songs. You get into it to perform. You don't get into it like, and then I'm going to do an interview about my toothbrush. So it's just nice. It's just nice. I talked about Zach Myers. Isaac co-wrote Write You a Song with her friend, Paul McDonald. You know, I've been having more and more fun, you know, touching and, you know, jumping into little things here and there, separate projects. Those things are all, I mean, that's what gives you fuel. I mean, you walk outside, we're in New York City, you smell the air, you see people, you see the creative, the world is moving, and the music comes out. So it's good to be in a place where we're able to be creative and we're able to have fans just excited to kind of go there with us still.
Yeah. And I know he was saying too, with the lockdown, he's like this, you know, this concept wouldn't have happened if we weren't locked down. Do you guys kind of feel the same way about your project that you're putting out tomorrow, where like, hey, had we not been like bored for how long, do you guys think you would have came up with this concept, or maybe not because you would have been touring?
I don't think it would have been right now because we would have gotten busy, as you often do. And I think there is a silver lining to that kind of taking a moment, being forced to take time. That's one of the hardest things about art is to gain perspective on yourself. And this is definitely it. I think it's cool. It was unintended that we would be at this 30-year anniversary with this sort of very three-part project that kind of fell into our laps because of the delay. And so you got to look at it as a bright side. And I think hopefully it marks kind of a new beginning in a way, a new way to look at the band.
Fresh look, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that you ever want to, you know, wipe anything else off the slate, but you do want to be able to kind of see things with new eyes. And I think that's hopefully a cool thing that people will get out of listening to this.
What are each of your favorite songs of each other's on this?
It's a close one for me between Ramblin' Heart and Childhood Heart.
Yeah, the heart songs.
The two heart songs.
Heart songs.
That's a really close tie for me. From the red portion. Hey, Zach, in spite of the fact that the single is for the blue portion is this upbeat "Don't Let Me Down" song, Zach has some really amazing melodic ballads on his portion of the record, and I don't know, It's hard for me to pick between.
Wake up or Where I Belong.
Yeah, that's a really close tie for me. But I think Where I Belong. No, but I think Where I Belong actually has the most intricacy to it.
Yeah.
And the most melodic kind of stuff. It almost feels like a portion of String Theory that didn't exist, you know, yet.
Right.
So
right.
That's probably my favorite of the blue, you know.
Okay. Let me think about this. No Matter the Reason is a song that Isaac wrote with our younger brother, Mac, which ended up awesome. And it's really, really fun to play. It's going to be great to play on coming tour. And so that one, just for the lyrical sort of, there's some earnesty and some cleverness to the lyric that really I enjoy. It sort of hits in those places for me as a writer that I just love listening to. And probably, you know, listening to the song Truth from Taylor's portion, I know for a long time there's been this kind of feeling of just, we love to sing maybe more than anything else. Obviously we're instrumentalists, but singing is really what drives us to do it. And that song has such a great melody. There's so much meat to singing it and listening to him do a great performance. And so I think people are really going to love that.
Yeah. Good selections. it is hard. I think I would go with the slower tracks as well. In both cases, I would say No Matter the Reason, Ike's track, No Matter the Reason, I would pick that one as well. I just think there's just something that feels really natural about it. It's beautiful, but it feels very effortless. And it's a great melody, great story. And then I don't know, I would probably say Wake Up, actually, the song from Zach's. It's just, there's an ease to it. And I know everybody's, you know, this project pushed things for different people, different reasons, different
ways.
Factors.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that it opened up kind of the floodgates in some cases, and also was challenging in different ways, different muscles were stretched.
Oh, yeah.
And when I listen to those songs, I think I hear things that feels like highlighting some of the things that are that I consider the best of their creative work, you know, where I can go, yeah, that's truly, I can see Zach smiling when he's seeing that. I can tell Isaac is happy with himself. Like, yep, this is the one I want to see.
Well, see, in that particular case, I was literally in tears.
Or weeping. This is the truth about Isaac. Isaac is smiling when he's weeping.
Yeah.
So,
he's a happy crier.
He's a happy, I'm so home. This is the worst. I have to do this. This is the best, you know. So.
I mean, you all are very sweet to each other with like your music. Do you guys ever get brutally honest though, where you're like, no, like, what are you doing?
This is not the way we talk about the album when we're not on camera.
You're like, it is American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, these are all true. And
you didn't ask us what we don't like about each other's project. You said, what's your favorite part?
Like, that's the only positive thing we have to say.
Well, I would say it is interesting because, so the approach to this project, obviously, when you look at the credits and you hear the record and we're releasing it together, you know, even on when there's harmonies on a blue song, usually it's Isaac or Taylor singing, right? And guitars and keyboards, right? We played for each other, but you approached it from a slightly different perspective. It wasn't so much, here's what I hear, it's what would you like, right?
Okay.
So there are some cases where there are lyrics and choices and arrangements where I listen to a song from Green or Red and I go, that's too long. Or you should have changed that line. It should rhyme there, right? It definitely, and I'm sure they feel the same about what I did.
Oh, no, I don't.
You think it's perfect?
No.
Yeah, he doesn't like any of it. But
he didn't even listen to it.
I think
that, I just made that up. I just read the track listing earlier. I have no idea what that song sounds like.
It sounds good.
You're like, that's
an you didn't know it's a cover of No, wake up now, tell me, do you win or lose?
No, sorry. Somebody did tell you you look like George Michael.
Yeah. I think there's a maturity to being at this point and realizing, as much as it is, every choice, there are 100 right choices with music. There really are a lot of great ways you can go. And a lot of it becomes preference and what you want to do together. And it's important to be able to walk into a room and know it's just your taste sometimes.
I like that. You all have children. Do you guys ever run your music past them to get their opinions? Because I feel like kids are super brutally honest. Like, they'll just tell you what is exactly on their mind.
I appreciate you asking that question. And it's actually a really good question because in many cases, it's very helpful to get the unvarnished kind of take on things. And I think in my particular case, I definitely ran it by Odette. Because Odette was the reason why I Write You a Song got written. She
says, Dad, I need a song.
Yeah, Dad, you never write me any songs. And then like,
it's my turn.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, what would have been really sad is if she would have heard it and been like, Dad, this is terrible. Write me a different one.
Well, knowing her, she kind of goes back and forth on it. She likes to give her dad a hard time.
I wouldn't say I would do that officially. Like, hey, okay, guys, time for a review. Great, break out your notepads.
Exactly. But,
I mean, I'll share music consistently and be doing it and have the antenna up, you know, and see what people respond to. And some songs, you know, sometimes you'll be playing something and I'll be surprised and all of a sudden someone, hey, what's that? And that's always a good indication. I mean, I think much like life, I think you have the best indication when you're very young and when you're very old. So the ones in the middle, that's where things get messy. When
yeah.
you're young, you're fresh, you know. When you're old, you just don't care, you know. And so I'm always curious about what, you know, like our friend and producer, Jim Scott, is genius. And he just hit 70 and he's done so much. He's very youthful. He's very energetic. But, you know, he's been there, done that. And he will just cut straight to the chase, you know. And
like, that was a stupid thing.
Yeah, but he'll tell you what it is. He'll tell you where it's. He's not worried about impressing anybody. And then it's true with kids, too. With your kids, you know, they do give you the unvarnished. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got something when they go, yeah, hey, what's that? I want to hear it.
That's cool. You know, with you guys growing up with the height of pop music and evolving your styles, how do you feel about where pop is right now?
I mean, there's really great music and really terrible music in every era. That's currently true as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll give a shout out to the things that I think are really great. I think Dua Lipa is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've liked her from the moment I randomly saw the New Rules music video when we were in Mexico. And it was like 6 months before she really broke in the US. And I was like, that is great. And Charlie Puth is friggin' fantastic. That guy is smart and talented and, you know, there's some really good stuff out there, but it's, you know, it's a mixed bag.
Love the Silk Sonic record.
Oh, yeah. Silk Sonic record. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
But I mean, really, truly a great, great record.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm happy too, you know, with everything that's happening, that there is still like very upbeat music. Cause I feel like we needed that in the past, like few years especially. So
yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys so much. Good luck on the new album, on tour, and everything to come.
Thank you. Thank you.